Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, issued new guidelines for prescribing opioids, recommending that doctors prescribe the lowest possible effective dose and prescribe immediate-release opioids rather than extended-release pain pills to try to make a dent in the opioid addiction epidemic. Patrick Scahill of Here Now contributor WNPR looks at how some doctors currently prescribe these medications and what happens to pills that are unused or left over.
A typical scenario goes like this. You get a surgery, and afterward, a doctor prescribes you a bottle of pills to relieve your pain. Sometimes they're opioids, which was the case for Julie Spencer, who got Vicodin.
I didn't take all of it, and the prescription I have at home is from 2007, so you can see I actually don't do much with it, but I don't know how to dispose of them.
Spencer says it's not just leftover opioids in her house either. Stowed away in a nightstand next to her bed are unused pills prescribed to treat her osteopenia.
I tried them, didn't like them, didn't like the side effects. So I have a 90-day prescription at home of that, which is no good to me. Then he prescribed something else. He did the same thing, gave me a 90-day prescription of that, which I paid for. Didn't like that one either.
So she's paying for lots of drugs that she didn't use.
That's costly for the insurance company. It's costly for you. And then again, now I've got all these pills in my cabinet that I don't know what to do with.
And it's not just patients who are unwittingly stockpiling leftover pills.
I personally had an operation. I got 30 Percocet. I used one. And the other 29 sat under my counter for a long time. I never thought about it.
That's Scott Kurtzman. He's a surgeon who runs the residency program at Waterbury Hospital north of New Haven, Connecticut.
But then I notice that patients come in with bags of medication, and they may not even be pain medicines. It may be they got switched to a different statin or a different blood pressure medication, and everyone, probably everybody's got a closet full of these pills, and they don't know what to do with it.
That's a problem, especially when those stockpiled pills don't stay packed away in the closet. According to the Office of Connecticut's Chief Medical Examiner, accidental drug intoxication deaths have doubled in the state over the past 4 years. And opioid-based prescriptions like fentanyl or oxycodone, which can cause respiratory failure in high doses, have contributed to that rise. Daniel Tobin is a primary care physician who also instructs students at the Yale School of Medicine.
You know, it's so just awful to see how patients who start with pain can lose control and transition into prescription drug use.
And addiction and misuse.
Where do people get the supply of medications that are, you know, used without a prescription? And it turns out that in the vast majority of cases, it's not a drug dealer. And it's not really even the doctor or multiple doctors. It's the medicine cabinet of family and friends.
And when an abuser runs through that medicine cabinet, Tobin says they sometimes will combine prescription medicines with cheaper street drugs like heroin. In 2012, Connecticut recorded one overdose death due to a combination of prescription fentanyl and heroin. In 2015, that number was 107.
Having all of those medications there is not, you know, is very dangerous and confusing to patients.
Sean Cole is medical director for the Chase Outpatient Center at Waterbury Hospital.
But I'll be 100% honest. As a provider, what I try to do is judiciously decide how many pills I believe are appropriate for, you know, a specific episode of pain. This is where the art of medicine comes in.
Waterbury Hospital surgeon Scott Kurtzman says most patients aren't looking to abuse pills, but they are in pain. He says doctors want to help a patient feel better, which can leave prescribers in a tricky spot when it comes to deciding the right amount of medication.
So it's a judgment call. We don't want to have too many pills left over at the end of the operation, yet we don't want the patient to be stranded and not be able to get a renewal if they have a genuine need.
But Yale's Daniel Tobin says sometimes writing that pain prescription in the near term can cause a physician to lose sight of long-term health consequences, both for a patient at risk for becoming addicted and for society as leftover pills make their way out of the nightstand and onto the street.
And the way you address that, you know, I don't know, except maybe to point it out to doctors that sometimes what seems like helping may in fact be enabling. And you need to pause and just take a moment and figure out, in this circumstance, is this the right, you know, next step or not?
Massachusetts has taken a step to address this. The state just passed a measure limiting a doctor's initial opioid prescription to 7 days. Here in Connecticut, resident Julie Spencer says she got tired of multiple prescriptions from her doctor. So after 30 years, she left him.
It was tough. It was kind of like getting a divorce that I just think it's time to move on.
Eventually, she found a new doctor, one who prescribed her osteopenia drugs in 10-day increments until she found the right one that worked for her. For Here and Now, I'm Patrick Scahill in Hartford.